Christmas is a big deal in Finland. In fact, since the 1300s, almost 700 years, they have participated in a tradition called the Declaration of Christmas Peace. On Christmas Eve, they meet in the old great square in the town of Turku, Finland. And what's amazing is there's a reading of what is called the Christmas Peace, the Declaration of the Christmas Peace. Now, this is broadcasted by television, by radio, and even now around the world, streaming on the internet. So on Christmas Eve, you can search for the Declaration of Christmas Peace and watch it live on Christmas Eve of how this Declaration of Peace. Now, you might be asking, what is this declaration? Well, it serves as a reminder to spend the holidays in harmony, to threaten offenders with harsh punishment, and to wish everyone a Merry Christmas. Let me actually read it for you. It says, tomorrow, God willing, is the grateful celebration of the birth of our Lord and Savior, and thus declared a peaceful Christmas time to all, by advising devotion and to behave otherwise quietly and peacefully. Because he who breaks this peace and violates the peace of Christmas by any illegal or improper behavior shall, under aggravating circumstances, be guilty and punished according to what the law and statutes prescribed for each and every offense separately. Finally, a joyous Christmas feast is wished to all inhabitants of this city. Or of the city. I love this. Don't mess with the Finns and their Christmas peace. I mean, what a great way to usher in Christmas, by talking about peace and also getting after the offenders that violate that peace. We've been in a series started last week called Rediscovering Christmas. And it's our Advent series. It's a journey during this season when we have an opportunity to pause, reflect on the fact that Jesus came and that he's returning again. The word Advent means coming, arrival, anticipation. It means expectation. It's a season that is marked by this waiting. It's the waiting that the people experienced, waiting for Jesus to be born. And it's the waiting that we experience now in Jesus returning. And Advent does an incredible thing. It links the past, the present, and the future. In fact, each week we're focusing on a different attribute of God that was brought about through the birth of his son, Jesus. And those attributes are hope, peace, joy, and love. So these are the attributes that we're focusing on. And so I'm glad that you're joining us as we rediscover peace today. So let's talk about this. But before we do, I want us to pause here, and you're going to move to the started out portion of your talk sheet. And that talk sheet can be downloaded off of our Facebook page or YouTube page, or you can go to our website, trinitynazarene.org. And right there at the top, there's a link, Trinity Anywhere, and you can download the talk sheet from there as well. When you're ready to continue with the message, you can hit play and come back. And if you want to continue in the message, you can just simply wait 5 seconds and we'll be right back. Well, I encourage you to turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Now, we were in Luke chapter 2 last week, and we're going to be again in Luke chapter 2 this week because we're focusing on the different characters that we meet in the Christmas story. Last week, it was Simeon and Anna. This week, we're actually going to focus on the shepherds. Now, the shepherds are interesting characters, and I love Luke's account. It's a beautiful and poetic account that includes the shepherds in the announcement story of, or the announcement that Jesus was born. And what's amazing is especially important or special for us because we grew up hearing the words of Linus to Charlie Brown. Well, that's just what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. And, that is a historical moment in TV history. But long before TV, long before Linus and Charlie Brown, we had these beautiful words that are penned by the doctor Luke in his gospel. He says here that that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid." Yeah, right. So he said, "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped in snuggly strips of cloth, lying in a manger." What a peculiar place for a baby to be lying. "Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased.' When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, 'Let's go to Bethlehem.'" And that's exactly what they did. They ran off, they went to Bethlehem, and they saw exactly what the angels had said they would have seen. And after seeing the baby, they told everybody. They went all around the town, and they told everybody about what they had just witnessed. And then they went back to their flocks. They were changed. They went back to their flocks with praise in their hearts. Now, there's so much going on here in this incredible story. It's the birth announcement. Imagine this scene. I mean, it's pitch black. The only thing that's maybe lit up is the moon or the stars. And all of a sudden, the sky becomes like day. The angels and the hosts of heaven's armies surround them. And they are, I mean, just imagine the sound of all these angels declaring glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth, goodwill toward men. I mean, think about that moment and how loud that would have been and how terrified these angels would have been, even though the angel said, "Don't be terrified. You're okay." And it's amazing because we see here that this announcement has got to be reserved for the A-listers, right? It's got to be reserved for presidents and or kings or noblemen. I mean, VIPs, they're the only ones that are going to get this type of announcement. Not shepherds. Come on. Because shepherds they're low on the totem pole. It's like Anna, the widow that we talked about last week. You're talking about on the social status and the social ladder. They're like below the ladder. But see, that's not the way God works in his story. God has an incredible way of glorifying that which everyone overlooks. And so in God's story, an ordinary shepherd becomes the VIP. Becomes as more important than a nobleman or a president or a king. They're night shift workers, but now God has elevated them to a place of honor in the story. And have you ever wondered why shepherds? I mean, why would he choose the shepherds, even though they're, ordinary? Because it reminds us that Israel they were always known to be nomadic. They weren't just nomadic, they were animal tenders. And this is the story going back to where Israel had started from. They were all shepherds. They were roamers. They roamed the ancient world. And it reminds us that again, the shepherds are ordinary people, and so is Israel. So there's a calling back to Israel's original story. They've got no pride, no arrogance. And in fact, they fit really well with the other main characters of the story. Think about it. You have a carpenter father. You have a peasant mother. You have ordinary shepherds. I mean, these folks are so common. You have a widow in the temple. I mean, it's amazing when we consider how all these pieces fit together and nobody in the story is truly special because of the way the world sees them. They're special because of the way God sees them. So you know what else is there in this story that a lot of people overlook? And it wasn't until I actually thought about it, reviewing it in preparation for this message, were the sheep. The sheep were there too. And I think the sheep also represent a character in the story. You see, the sheep followed the shepherd. The sheep probably would have saw all the same thing, and they wouldn't have had any idea what was going on, but they would have been taking their cues from the good shepherd. So think about that. We are like sheep have all gone astray. We are sheeple. And for us, we only know what's going on because we take our cues from the good shepherd. And I think that that's amazing when we think about what's happening here in the story, because the angels came to the shepherds, but the sheep also saw what was happening as well. Incredible symbolism there. And I think that the shepherds actually lead us to several insights about our own intersection with God's peace. In fact, I've got three main things I want to share with you about that. The first one is that peace comes in the midst of our storms. That's the first thing I want you to understand about God's peace and the intersection of our relationship with God and his peace. That peace comes in the midst of the storms. One time, my wife and I, we were flying and we were heading to Orlando. And when you head to Orlando, you actually have to fly over the Great Smoky Mountains. And there's typically always a little bit of turbulence. But in this particular case, there was a massive storm. And you know it's bad when they discontinue the in-cabin service. That's when you know, ooh, when the people have to be seated, the stewardesses have to be seated, you know it's going to be bad. It's going to be rough. And the pilot came on and said, oh, we're experiencing some weather. I'm going to ask the flight attendants to please take their seats. And then he said something I've never heard then, and I haven't heard since then. And that is that he was going to climb to 46,000 feet. Now, that's amazing. It's the highest I've ever been in an airplane. He went up to 46,000 feet in order to find smooth air. And when we got to 46,000 feet, it was like there was no storm at all. It was so smooth. But then we started our descent back into Orlando, and guess what? Orlando had storms. So he said, well, it's going to be a little bit of a bumpy landing. A bumpy landing? I got off the plane, and I kissed the jetway. Not really, but I wanted to. I mean, our nerves were shot. Everything was just was shaking, this nervous energy. And in a lot of ways, doesn't that describe our lives? There's times when we find the 46,000 feet air and it's smooth. There's other times we feel like the flight attendants have to be seated because it's going to be bumpy. And I think that the shepherds share that with us, that there's peace that comes in the midst of our storms. And if I was to ask you, what does your Christmas season look like? In fact, what does it typically look like? I think many of you would probably respond and say, well, it's hectic. It's tiring. It's brutal. It's busy. I mean, you're typically frantic, worried about going here, doing this. And we don't have a lot of opportunity to find that Christmas peace that we talk about. Now, maybe that's actually not true just for the Christmas season. Maybe you're saying, well, Pastor, you just described what I experience year round. Maybe it's even more than that. Maybe it's a conflict or it's pressure at work. Maybe it's a loss of a job or a loss of a relationship. Maybe it's illness. All these things seem to dissuade us away from God's peace. And for many, peace sounds like it's really far off. But I want to share with you good news. Jesus shows up in the midst of life's storms. Even when it's unclear, even when you don't know, even when you're experiencing things that are out of your control, Jesus shows up. Jesus was born during one of the darkest times in the history of Israel. In fact, he shows up in a season with Mary and Joseph, who themselves are experiencing this darkness around them. I mean, think about from their perspective, they're far from home. They have, it's their first child. They've never done this before. They're not in a home. They're in a barn, and there's no midwife, and the infant mortality rate during this time is 30%. So they had a lot of heaviness and lack of peace surrounding them. But in the midst of all of that, God showed up. Now, I don't know what you've been experiencing these last couple of days, weeks, maybe even months, but God desires for you to find peace in the midst of the storm. And he is the only one that can bring that to you. In fact, that goes on to our second point, that peace won't come from the world. We're not going to find peace from the world. We're only going to be able to find peace from God, true peace. And we search many places for peace. I want you to consider that right now. What are some of the places that you have searched for peace? Yeah, I'm sure you could probably list off many places, but it's not lasting peace. In fact, Jesus, in his own words to his disciples about finding peace, he tells us in Matthew 14, he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. These are the words of Jesus to his disciples. Now, there's a couple of things that we learn here from what Jesus is saying. The first thing is that Jesus is speaking out of a place of peace before his own storm. He's saying this before he knows that he is going to be crucified. And so he's speaking to us about peace in the midst of this coming storm. The second thing is that Jesus gives us true peace. And that's important because we realize, point number three, the world only gives us false peace. So Jesus is the only one that gives us true peace. And the world does try to offer us peace, but it's not real. It's false. And it's not lasting. It's not sustaining. In fact, there's the last thing that we learn from this particular scripture is that Jesus had peace because of who his Father is. And that's important because God was the foundation of Jesus's life. He was able to find the peace in the midst of the storm. Even though he was being ushered into crucifixion, he had a peace, not just because he was God, but because who God was within him. And I ask that we seek God for the peace that we need today. You can seek God for the peace that you need today. So this leads us to our third point. Peace is a person. And you can see the connection here with point two and point three, that not only is peace doesn't come from the world, it comes from God, but that peace is a person. In fact, Paul tells us in Ephesians 2, he says, "For he himself is our peace." He himself is our peace. So long before Jesus's birth, Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah chapter 9, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father," check it out, "Prince of Peace." His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. Now, this is a typical prophecy passage that is read during the Christmas season because we understand that 400 years before Jesus came, Isaiah said that when he comes, he will be the Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. And the final title that he includes is Prince of Peace. When the Prince of Peace comes, his peace will never end. Well, let's stop here and we're going to move to the talk it out section of our talk sheet. And again, I encourage you to engage in this content with other people. If you're watching this alone, text somebody, you know, talk to them about what you're learning or what this crazy pastor on the internet is saying or the radio or the TV. And then come back and press play in order to continue the conversation as we move to the last section of the message, which is the application section. How does this all apply to our lives? Well, during the time of kings, a king issued a contest to painters. He challenged them to paint a picture of peace, an image of peace. Thousands of people painted these images, and there was this great competition throughout the land. And the king's responsibility was to find the number one image that showed the symbol of peace. The first image that people saw was of this calm lake. In fact, many people, when they looked at it, they said, "That's the winner. I mean, look how calm it is. Look how peaceful it is. You have people out in this little ship, and they just must be relaxing. And there's mountains, and it's just really beautiful. It looks like it might be early in the morning before the world awakens." And then there was a second image, and this image had mountains as well, but this image looked a lot different than the first one. This image include ragged and jagged and rugged mountains and cascading water that was a torrent. There's lightning. I mean, if you look, there's lightning here in the image as well. And many people who looked at it, they said, that doesn't look peaceful at all. Like, how in the world? The king came down to these two images. And people were really confused. They said, why? Why would you choose this to be your winner? Because eventually the king decided that this was the image of peace that he was referencing and looking towards. People said, how in the world? And it's because of this. Upon further inspection, the king saw what other people missed. You see, behind the waterfall in this image is a tiny bush and a rock. And inside that tiny bush was this little tiny dove. And this dove had made this little nest in this little rock under the waterfall. And the king explained, peace is not only in a place where there is no noise, trouble, or hard work. Peace in the midst of things as they are, when there is calm in your heart. Peace is in the midst of the things as they are, when there is calm in your heart. That is real meaning of peace. I mean, if you think about it, if we really want to get to a place of peace, it doesn't mean removing all the distractions. In fact, the only way that we know what peace is because of all the things that are distracting us from peace. The king is onto something here, helping us to see that true peace is what happens in our hearts. This season can provide an opportunity for us to experience a lasting peace that the world can't take away because the world didn't give it to you. And in fact, I want to encourage us during this season of Advent to pause, find a place of peace. It doesn't mean that the storm, the torrent, the lightning, the water is going to go away, but it does mean that you can find peace even in the midst of it, because ultimately, that's when Jesus shows up in the midst of the storms. It's recognizing that he is the Prince of Peace, and also that it's his peace that only he can provide, and it won't come from the world. And this is the peace that Jesus brings. When Mary reached down and she picked up this tiny baby and she held him in her arms, she was holding peace. Not just peace, but the Prince of Peace. I'm going to leave you with these words, and I pray that they're an encouragement over you today. They come from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you his peace at all times and in every situation. The Lord be with you all. That's our prayer, that the Lord will provide his peace that he gives himself to all of us and in any and every situation that we find ourselves in. Let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this promise of peace. Lord, we know that you are wonderful counselor, mighty Father, and Prince of Peace. And I pray, Lord, that knowing that that's your title, and as we understand that you give peace, a lasting peace, a true peace that the world can't give or provide. The world can't take away our peace because it didn't give it to us in the first place. So Jesus, I pray for each of us that no matter what situation we find ourselves in, no matter what situation that we're currently experiencing, that we will lean on your peace in the midst of that circumstance or in the midst of that situation. Lord, I pray that each of us would be encouraged that your desire is for us to find peace, not in the fact that all the storms are gone, but to find peace even in the midst of them. So Jesus, again, I pray this now in your name. Amen. Well, as we conclude all of our times together, whether that's live or whether that's on our digital content, we always want to end with our benediction. It's an opportunity for us to declare this benediction over our week. And there's a symbol and a statement of peace that is in here that I don't want you to miss. As you know it, I encourage you to say it with me. But if you don't know it, I encourage you to say it with me as you read it off the screen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. Now the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen and amen. Now here's the most important three words that we say every week. You are sent.